The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you perhaps are like me. When I was much younger, I couldn't wait to grow up. I couldn't wait for that next step in my development. I couldn't wait, for instance, until I turned 16. 16 was the magic number when all my dreams would come true, because I'd get a driver's license and I'd no longer be beholden to my parents to get me to dates. I no longer had to be beholden on others to be at a certain place when they told me to. I was free. And so I went to get my driver's license, and of course I crashed my brother's car and that didn't work out so well. But finally, when I did get my license, talked to my mom, you know, I'd really like to have a car. And she said, "That's great, get a job." And so I saved and worked and saved and worked and finally got that car. And then it dawned on me that I was working to put gas in the car so I could go to work so that I could have the car. And it just all kind of continued. Then my next plateau that I dreamed about was when I would fall in love. And then, sometime later, when I would get married and then have children, loving, wonderful, well-behaved, perfect children, and then grandchildren. And now I dream of that wonderful time when I grow up that I'll retire. You see, we all have these points in our lives where change happens, where we sometimes think that that's the be-all and end-all in our journey, but actually there's always something more. And as you grow, you find that you grow in responsibility as well. Believe it or not, this is what Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. Last Sunday, Pastor Amy warned you that we have 4 weeks in a row from the Sermon on the Mount, and I think she said, "Buckle up." Jesus starts in his Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 of Matthew, with the Beatitudes, and they're all blessing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are you when you're reviled and persecuted for me. It's all blessing, all gift, gift of a gracious God, even to those people that don't feel so blessed most of the time. But then Jesus ratchets it up just a little bit. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its saltiness, what good is that? It's thrown on the path and trampled into the dirt. Salt is a wonderful It has many uses. Around here, it's great for melting ice. We use that a lot. It's a preservative. In the old days, it was even considered payment. It was currency. That's where the phrase being worth your salt came from. But most of all, it's on our dinner tables, and it enhances our meals, makes them taste better, probably too much better for some of our health. But you notice salt, in and of itself, just sits there, unless it has an effect on something or someone else, unless it changes the one to whom it's applied, whether it's the ice melting or whether it's making your dinner taste just so wonderful. And if it doesn't have that effect, what is it good for? Jesus says, nothing. You are the salt of the earth. And do you notice the analogy here? Then if you're like salt, then you must have an effect on others. You must be a change agent in the lives of others. Well, if that's a little too complicated, then Jesus goes right to the next one. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. Don't put it under a bushel basket. A city on a hill can't be hid. Now think here, this is crazy. Nobody would light a light and cover it with a bushel basket. Besides, it would start on fire and ruin the whole house. No, light is intended to shine, to do something. It can shine in those dark corners of our living room that we don't want to look at. It can shine in those dark corners of our lives that we don't want to face either. Or it can shine on a beautiful scene of God's glory and grace. Light affects something else. If it doesn't have something else to reflect on, it's as if it's not even there. The astronomers among us, you might think that the vast reaches of the universe are filled with darkness, but it's not. It's filled with light, but you only see it when it reflects onto someone else, something else. Then it's bright, but otherwise it doesn't do anything. Let your light so shine before others. Your light has to do something. Jesus gets specific, that you may give glory to God. Let your light so shine before others that they may give glory to God. You notice it doesn't say the light's just for you, or the salt even is just for you. Let your light shine before, for others. Now you notice here, Jesus is starting, he's teaching his disciples what this journey of faith is going to look like, what this journey of discipleship is like, and it's going to have steps and growth and setbacks and more growth. And each step along the way, the goal is to affect the lives of others, to reflect God's glory, not your own, but God's glory. We, as Christians, we have those stages of our lives, you know, where we think we've arrived and that another stage presents itself. Well, it's the same way in our Christian faith. You know, we have these different points in our lives. We sometimes call them milestones around here. First communion is a milestone. Those points in our lives where our faith might grow to the next thing, might grow deeper and more meaningfully, closer to Christ. But all too often, many of us only come so far, and that's where we stop. You know, I've been through Sunday school, and I was through confirmation, now I'm done. I'm sure one or two of you have heard that before. But yet Jesus calls us to an ever-increasing depth of maturity and responsibility as his people, because you see, we are the light of, of the world. We are the salt of the world. We are put here to effect change upon the lives of others, to share the good news of Christ, yes, but also to make their lives filled with the glory of God. But it's not just for us. Sometimes we might be tempted to think that we've arrived. Well, there's a temptation connected with that. We've arrived, we think, and then it becomes so easy to make where we're at it the standard by which we judge others, the little bullet points by which we measure whether the other person meets our standards, reaches up to our way of thinking, reaches up to our idea of what's right and true, sinful or not. The Pharisees and scribes in Jesus' day, they had reached a certain level. It was pretty darn high, actually. They took the law very seriously, but they stopped there and stopped being open to reaching forward in their faith, reaching out to others. Instead, they were stuck on that plateau, judging the folks beneath them. That's a tendency we can easily fall into, thinking that we've arrived. We might have all the best doctrines, all the best religious thoughts, you know, but remember, Jesus didn't say, you know, that they will see your good words. No, he said, they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You got to put the words into action. In other words, an ever-growing, deeper discipleship and relationship to Christ. And as that happens, we find that we affect the lives of those around us. We grow in faith and we reach out to glorify God through our interactions with others. We make a difference in people's lives. Well, how do we do that? Well, Jesus started out in the Beatitudes. You remember the folks that he called blessed? Those the poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are persecuted, those who are hurting. Those are the people close to God's heart that we are called to serve, that we are called to show God's glory to them in action. And it goes on through the whole Gospel of Matthew. Finally, we'll get back to near the end, to chapter 25. It's just before the crucifixion, just before Jesus gives his very life for the sake of this world that God so loves. And there he tells us about where we might find his presence, in the hungry, in the thirsty, in the imprisoned, the naked, the lonely. Those are the ones that God calls us to give glory to God to. Those are the ones we are called to make a difference in their lives. And that's all fine and good, but it's awful hard, is it not? We have lots of differing opinions. Perhaps the same strong heart of compassion and love for those in need, but we may have different opinions on how to get there. And that's the difficult part. Maybe, just maybe, as we grow in faith on our journey of discipleship, maybe we might also be open to the Holy Spirit, who first of all tells it like it is, and convicts us for who we are and how we've fallen short, but using that as an opportunity to give everybody else a break, to recognize that we're all in the same boat. We're all children of God, beloved of God. Perhaps that can open our eyes. Maybe that can be the light that shines around us to see all these other folks. Maybe we disagree, maybe we agree, maybe we don't even know them, but those folks are beloved children of God. And our calling, the invitation, is to be salt for them, to be light for them, to let the grace and goodness and love of God show through us and make a difference. Make a difference. To do that, we ask for God's guidance and for the Holy Spirit, so that as we grow little by little in our faith, sometimes even falling back for a while, but as we grow in our discipleship, we might truly be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that gives glory to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.